Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey now joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. Our third wheel is once again absent this week. It seems like every other week or every third week, Will Stewart is off gallivanting about the countryside doing something.
Doing something.
Now
he's always on the run.
It's Disney World this time.
Yeah, apparently so.
What a trip.
Yeah, I guess I've never been.
You've never been to Disney World?
I've never been to Disney World.
I'm
just not a big amusement park guy.
Yeah.
To me, it'd be a complete waste of money, and I'd wish I was somewhere else.
Well, see, that's the thing, too, is that I've always said that I'm going to eventually, when I have the startup capital for said enterprise, mm-hmm. I'm going to start adult theme parks. Mm-hmm. All right? And basically, I'll have more things than this, but they're going to be centered around roller coasters and beer. And I'll just have a bunch of roller coasters and a bunch of beer.
And a bunch of beer.
So you're not going to have to wait in line for rides like you do with every
other. There's going to be so many roller coasters.
Right. That, yeah. And on the occasion that you do have to wait in line, you'll be waiting with beer.
With beer.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's a foolproof plan, honestly.
Unless you drink too much beer and then get on the roller
coaster. Yeah, I thought about that.
A lot of people
I thought about
puking.
That. Yeah.
That could be bad.
I'm not sure.
But in theory, it's a good idea.
In theory, it's a perfect idea. So, yeah, Will Stewart's on his way to Orlando to Disney World, so we're going to chop up some topics without him. And I guess the first of which is one we've talked about a couple of days this week, but I haven't gotten your take yet. Andrew Ford transferring, and I've always, I think both conversations that I've had about that this week, I started it by saying no one should be surprised by this.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should be surprised for it. We knew that we were going to lose either Ford or Durkin out of that class because you recruit two quarterbacks in one class. Not both of them are going to finish their career at that school. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
I mean, only one quarterback can play at a time. So we knew some attrition would happen there. I didn't think it would happen quite this soon, but when I think about it, it doesn't really surprise me. If you look at all the quarterbacks Virginia Tech recruited after Andrew Ford, the ones they recruited out of high school, Chris Durkin's a guy that can run the read option, who can run.
Yeah.
Dwayne Lawson obviously is. The quarterbacks that they're targeting for 2016 are also guys that can run the read option. They're probably going to get Joshua Jackson, I think, who can run the read options. So I just think Virginia Tech is transitioning or trying to transition into having a quarterback that provides more of a threat with his legs. I think when they took Andrew Ford, he wasn't their first choice that year, but he was a solid prospect. And at that point, Scott Loeffler just looked at the quarterbacks in the roster and was like, geez, I need to take the best player I can get right now,
right,
regardless of whether he's a pocket passer, whether he can run, whatever. I need to take the best guy I can get. And Andrew Ford was that guy because the Tech's quarterback roster at the time was somewhat barren. And but I think Andrew Ford can see the writing on the wall. And by transferring now, he can sit out this coming season and be eligible to play in 2016.
With 3 years left to play.
With 3 years left.
Right.
Whereas if he'd sat around and played this year as the third or fourth string quarterback, he probably wouldn't have got into a game. But yet it would have counted as a year of eligibility. So then if he transferred, he would have to sit out 2016 and then only have 2 years to play after that.
That's
so
right.
If you're going to transfer, go ahead and do it. I think it's the right decision for him. He's a real smart guy. He has no idea, even if he had stayed here, even if he had earned playing time, it's like, man, I don't know who my offensive coordinator is going to be if Frank Beamer retires
next
couple of years.
That's
so,
right.
So it's just
a lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts. Absolutely. There's just not a lot of stability right now at Virginia Tech because of the whole when is Frank Beamer going to retire type of thing.
I wonder about Chris Durkin. And the kid's obviously a competitor. I'm sure in his mind he thinks he can win the starting job.
Sure.
But I'm also thinking that he probably sees things similarly to the way Andrew Ford does, is that it looks like there may be a little bit of a stacked deck against him.
Yeah.
Because Dwayne Lawson's coming in with all this hype. They went out and hired his high school offensive coordinator. I wonder what Chris Durkin's mindset is right now. And here's a kid who never passed for more than 1,000 yards in high school. So there are a lot of questions about whether or not he could even be a capable pocket quarterback at this level. So, I mean, you've heard rumors about position changes and so on and so forth. Maybe that's a possibility. But I on Wednesday, talking to Bitter in here, I said, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Durkin's number three by default right now. I mean, maybe just because he's the last one remaining that's officially on campus, but Lawson's about to show up. And I would venture to guess the second he shows up, he may be the number three quarterback to start out with.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the possibility is certain there. Here's what people don't realize about Lawson is he turns 20 next month.
Yeah.
You don't redshirt 20-year-olds.
Not typically,
yeah,
no.
Not typically. And plus, I think they view Lawson as their quarterback of the future. Honestly,
what they absolutely do.
I think what they're going to do this year is that they're going to play him this year. They might give him a Brendan Motley type package. He might be the number two quarterback. He might be the number three quarterback. I don't know. But they're going to keep him involved with the offense somehow this year. He's not going to be the scout team quarterback this year. He's going to be in the meeting room with Scott.
So now you're in the camp now where that thinks he's going to play.
I think he's going to play him because they're planning on starting him next year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they want to start him as a sophomore, and he'll be more ready to start in his second year by playing this year than he would by redshirting. Because when you redshirt, you just go run with a scout team. You're learning the other team's offense on a week-to-week basis, developing some technical skill a little bit, getting bigger, stronger, getting used to the speed of the game. But you're not really focusing on the Virginia Tech offense. You're running the opponent's offense every week. If you play him this year and keep him with Scott Loeffler around the older quarterbacks, he's in a better position to start next year, and that's what they want to do. Whether he's the best quarterback or not next year, he has the higher ceiling of any quarterback on the roster, I think. So they would want to start him. And let's face it, I mean, Scott Loeffler, he's thinking short term right now.
Well,
he's
not
thinking long term.
No, not at all.
Tech.
Not at all.
He's auditioning for his next job.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be straight up frank with you right now that if Scott Loeffler is around next year, then it means things went pretty well this year. I think that's a fair assumption, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if Scott Loeffler is still the offensive coordinator here this time next year, then it likely means things went pretty well this season.
I would think so. And the thing is, though, here's the thing. If things don't go well this season, and Frank's like, gosh, I really need to replace my offensive coordinator, what would happen there? I mean, would anybody want to come coach for him when he's probably only going to be coaching for another year after that? So if it doesn't work this year, then what's the point of Frank starting over with a new
offensive
staff?
That's the other side of it, exactly.
There's no point.
Right.
No point of that at all. You might as well just start all over with the new head coach at that point.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL, joining us here on the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. I wonder about quarterback recruiting with Dwayne Lawson coming in. Is that do you think that makes quarterback recruiting in the upcoming cycle and the next cycle after that more difficult?
I think it makes it more difficult for 2016.
But maybe 17, not so much.
Not 17, not so much, particularly if they see him play this year. And they say, okay, he played as a true freshman. I won't be enrolling until 2017. And at that point, he'll be a junior. So I could redshirt and then start as a redshirt sophomore and then have 3 years to start. So I don't think it really affects things for 2017. I do think it affects things to a certain extent for 2016. If Tech can land Joshua Jackson, who I think is a solid prospect, that's probably best case scenario
for this coming cycle, for the
2016 class.
And for folks who don't know, Joshua Jackson is from where?
Michigan,
the state of Michigan.
His father, I believe, is Fred Jackson, was the longtime Michigan running backs coach, was on the same Michigan staff as Scott Loeffler. Scott Loeffler has known Joshua since he was a baby.
Pretty nice connection to have.
Yeah, pretty nice connection to have, huh? So I think he's coming down and visiting this weekend.
Tomorrow?
Or the next weekend.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but I think it's this weekend.
Right.
I think Virginia Tech will land him. That's my opinion. We'll see.
Obviously, this is not something I get too caught up in, either do you, but as far as the star rankings go.
He's a three-star kid. I think he's a solid prospect. He's not as athletic as Dwayne Lawson. He doesn't have as much of a cannon as Dwayne Lawson, but I do think he has a solid arm. I think he's mobile enough to run a read option type of offense. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he's best case scenario for the class after Dwayne Lawson, in my opinion.
Okay. So, but you still pretty much, judging by our prior conversations, you're still a guy that thinks you have to take a quarterback in every class, right?
I think ideally you want to.
Right.
It's a good thing Virginia Tech took Juju Clayton, because if they hadn't taken him, then Logan Thomas couldn't have redshirted in 2009.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think you take a quarterback every year, and if you do that, even your lowly ranked guys, they're probably not going to be very good. They're not never going to be your starter, but maybe they do allow you to redshirt somebody at some point who otherwise you might not have been able to redshirt. When Michael Brewer first came here, and obviously this was before Dwayne Lawson, so we were sitting here thinking, man, what are we going to do with quarterback? And remember, we were having that discussion, and I said, well, at the very least, the presence of Michael Brewer means that Andrew Ford and Chris Durkin can redshirt.
Right.
You don't have to play him as a true freshman. And obviously, I don't think it's really going to matter for those guys because I think Lawson's going to be the guy in the future. But, yeah, to me, it just makes sense. Most important position on the field, you got to make sure you have enough depth there. I would take one every year if I could.
I hear a lot of that. That makes sense to me. So a quarterback in every class, Dwayne Lawson's coming in. This is going to be a really interesting summer, a really interesting fall camp to see how the quarterback depth chart shuffles and what it looks like week one. I can't imagine you'll see Dwayne Lawson in the game against Ohio State for any reason. It's hard to believe that would come. I mean, the first game of the season of that magnitude, I find it hard to believe you'll see Dwayne Lawson in that game.
Yeah, you know, in the past, how Virginia Tech has handled things like that. If they have a big opening season game, like, let's say the Alabama game in 2009, David Wilson returned kickoffs in that game and maybe had, like, one carry.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next week against Marshall, he had 160 rushing yards. You know, they didn't throw him right into the fire in his first ever college game. On the other hand, they threw Tyrod Taylor into the fire against LSU, didn't they?
They sure did. And, Didn't work.
Wasn't going to work no matter what.
No. The hole was too big at that point. It was a really, really big hole that Glennon and company had dug for themselves in that game. But, yeah, the quarterback situation is going to be a fascinating one, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. And thinking about reading Frank Beamer's book, his approach to quarterbacks and his thought process on how they mature and develop is really interesting to kind of put it – to contextualize it now. You know, as you see Frank later in his career and the players that are coming into the program, it's really interesting to think about. We're going to continue this conversation maybe at some point, but we're going to take a break for now. We'll come back. Still more Hokies news to get to. We're going to talk some more recruiting and such, but I also want to get Chris's thoughts on the notice of allegations handed down by the NCAA to the University of North Carolina, what it all means and what we might expect, because there are some pretty serious accusations levied by the NCAA at North Carolina. But is it all lip service? We'll talk about that coming up next. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.